We're doing the Netivot Shel Aharon Parshat Be'alotcha and the Parsha of Vayhi Binso Aharon. Vayhi Binso Aharon Vayomer Moshe, and it was when the Aharon traveled and Moshe said, Kuma Hashem, arise Hashem, v'yafutzu oyevecha, and your enemies will scatter, v'yanusu mesanecha mipanecha. Your enemies will flee from before you, uvnucho yomar. And when the Aharon rested, he'd say, Shuvah Hashem revivot alfei Yisrael, return Hashem to the masses, to the thousands of Israel. Ita b'gemara, so the Talmud tells us, the parasha zu sefer chashuvu b'fnei atzmo, that this parasha is considered like its own book. These two psukim have the weight as though they were a separate book of Torah. Shatram t'chaleket l'shiva sfarim, that really the Torah is divided into seven books, and these two verses are a book unto themselves. So we have to understand, what is this book coming to teach us? And what are we really supposed to learn from these two verses that are a whole book in their own right? The purpose of the Torah, we know, is to teach us the mitzvot of Hashem. And in every mitzvot shonot, and in every chumash in the Torah, we have different mitzvahs. Yet in these psukim, it would seem that no mitzvah was said. So we can say, in the Torah we know there are active mitzvot, and then you have places where the Torah teaches us how to be moral people, and what's the proper way to fulfill all of God's 613 mitzvot, how to get to the essence of the Torah mitzvot. So you want to know what this parsha is teaching you. This parsha is teaching you just that. No, you want to understand that? We can understand it based on what the Maggid of Koznitz said in his work, Avodat Yisrael. He said, the word Aharon, Vayhi binzo ha'aron, the word Aharon, romez letalmid chacham. This is a concept you'll see in many places. When the Aharon traveled, so the Torah was teaching us a concept when the Torah discussed the Aharon traveling. The Torah was teaching us the idea that when a Jew travels, the Torah can travel. Torah is not only in Machon Meir. And even before the days that you had the internet, you still had Torah that you were supposed to take with you. So yes, you go to yeshiva to learn, but when you leave the yeshiva, you're supposed to take that Torah with you. If you don't learn, you got nothing to take, right? And people need time to learn, but at the end of the day, the Aharon traveled, and this is an allusion to the Talmud Chacham, who has attained enough Torah that it's within him. Shukmo Aharon, just as the Aharon, shebo ayu aluchot, v'asot adibrot, v'atorah, v'tarag mitzvot, that in the Aharon you had the Ten Commandments, you had the two tablets, you had the Torah, you had all 613 mitzvot, v'hineh mi sh'rotzeh l'itkarev el Hashem itbarach. If someone wants to come close to Hashem, tzarich la'avor mikodem nisyonot. First, the person has to stand up to tests. No one makes it to come close to Hashem without standing up to tests. Ki ken yasad Hashem itbarach, that's the way Hashem set it up in the world. Shein adam itale lemadrega yoter gvoha, that a person doesn't rise to a higher step, ki im al yedei nisyonot, unless he stands up to different tests. Uvimyuchad talmidei chachamim, and specifically the talmidei chachamim mitnasim, benisyonot kashim biyoter. They have to stand up to tests that are very difficult. Ve'acharei shemitgaber al hanisayon, and when the Talmud Chacham does stand up to that test, harei hu ole madrega ledarga. He goes up from step to step. Shemikol nisayon she'adam over, hu godel u'mitale. Every test that a man passes, he grows. He is not the same person that faced the previous test. V'chedita b'midrash, and as the Medrash teaches, shanisayon hu b'vchinat natata lire'echa nes litnoses. This is a Medrash that he quotes often. The Medrash says that God gave Abraham, his friend, so to speak, God gave him a flag to wave. the fact that Avram stood up to the test was like that flag that's blowing at on the mast of a ship. Everyone sees, wow, this ship is a pirate ship, this ship is a navy ship. There's a flag blowing up there. So too Hashem gave Avram this flag that Avram now succeeded. He grew. Every Jew, when he stands up to the test, he grows. But, and this is one of the key points that people have to remember, that at the moment of the test, you can't connect to this concept. When a person is standing during the test, yesh istalkut ha-mochin, there's this concept that in Hasidut is called, you lose your mind. It's not temporary insanity. It's temporary lack of focus. It's temporary specific insanity. It's with regard to certain spiritual concepts that when a person is standing in the test, he can't connect to them. You hear this during the test and you tell the person, you know, stand up to this and you'll be on a higher footing later. It doesn't exist. שנותנים מן האדם את כל המוחין שלו, והוא בסכנה גדולה שלא יקשן ויפול חס ושלום. וצריך שמירה גדולה וחיזוק. A person needs to be strengthened, a person needs to be helped, a person needs to be supported, because there are moments when a person doesn't connect to any concepts. Hey, everything you tell them, it sounds fake. Well, I assume that almost every one of you who made Aliyah has gone through these moments, where you cling to the concept, but if you try to explain intellectually why you're doing it, you're going to have a very hard time. Because at that moment, you're connecting. Something deep is connecting. Something deep is saying, no, you got to do this. But you know that you're not going to be able to articulate it. And during those moments, you have such appreciation for those people who actually give you the chizuk. Like he says, you know you're on the brink. And you need, help me, give me that push. So that's what the pasuk is saying. Vayehi b'nisua ha'aron. It was as the Aaron traveled. Ratza lomar. What the verse is saying is, kasher yehudi omed b'nisayon, kedei linsua v'lalot mimadriga lemadriga. Our life in this world is a life of travel. We hope that we are traveling upward, going from step to step. And when a Jew is standing on the verge of taking that step, he's standing and he's facing a challenge. And we all know we have those challenges. Vayomer Moshe. So when he's standing on the verge of taking that journey, then we come to the next two words, Vayomer Moshe. Moshe calls out in prayer, Shemoshe hitpalel alehem uvikesh. Moshe prayed over them and asked, Kuma Hashem, arise Hashem. Support them, that they shouldn't, God forbid, fall. On the contrary, let them go higher and higher. Let your enemies, let those who hate you, scatter and flee from before you. Moshe was praying, because there are always these forces that stand in our way. He was praying that none of them should be able to hold on to us. And the Jews should be able to overcome them and stand up to the test. And this concept of tests, the reasoning behind it is because every Jew came down to the world with some mission, some high level mission. Everyone has a specific responsibility, a specific mission for which he was sent to the world. About this, our sages taught. The Medrash says, there's nothing more favorable before God than a messenger who is dedicated to fulfill his task. So the Netivot Shalom says it means every person is a messenger. Each of us has missions to accomplish. And that's what it says, there's none more favorable before God than he who is a trusted messenger who does his best to fulfill his task. And every one of us, when he's trying to fulfill his mission, encounters moments of tests. He knows he's in danger of falling. And that's what Moshe was asking. When Moshe saw the Aaron, the Jew who's trying to arise like the ark, traveling, Moshe prayed, "Kuma Hashem, arise Hashem, v'yafutzu oyvecha, v'yanusu misanecha mipanecha, shiuchal lamod b'niseyon." What he was praying was, remove the hindrances, allow the person to stand up to his test. And we just read last week the song of Akdamot, which introduces the Ten Commandments. So in that song, I don't know, most people snore through that song, you know. That's that song just before the Ten Commandments. Some people don't know it exists, right? They sit down for Kriyas HaTorah and boom. Next thing they know, someone's tapping them on the shoulder, davening's over. But there is a custom that us Ashkenazic Jews have, that we call up the Kohen, and before we start reading the Torah, on Shavuos morning, when we will read the reading of the Ten Commandments, so even before the Kohen Aliyah, we read a song that begins with the word Akdamot, introductory, and it is a whole introduction to that reading of the Torah. It takes about 10 minutes, the song. A pretty long song. So in that song we say, Adav yekarach santei chavivin, deve kavata, avidine chativa bidinach vishakata. Let's continue for a second and then I'll go back and translate. The Kayel Ashlichut Yehudi. He's translating it as the Jew, be it when he rests, be it when he is shining, be it when he is when the sun is set, he always has his tests. That's how he's translating this this sentence. The kayar shlichut shel yehudi, it says he has his responsibility, be it when there's light, be it when it's the sun is setting. It's speaking about the mission of the Jew, sheyesh hashlichut b'dinach b'et olo, that the Jew has a mission, be it when the sun is shining on him, v'yesh hashlichut v'nisyonot b'shakata, or when the sun is setting on him. Hem anisyonot ha'chayim, those are the tests of life, b'et shachoshech ofefoto mikol ever. In moments when a person feels like he's encompassed in darkness. There are moments when a person feels like he's all alone. There are moments when a person feels like he doesn't see how he's going to realize any of his dreams. There are moments when a person feels like it's only darkness out there. And he doesn't see any spark of light, not within him and not outside of him. Oh, there's a world of light, but he doesn't feel like he's a part of it. And about that, the Akdamos, the song says, no, you have a mission when you feel like there's light, and you have a mission when you feel like it's dark. וכמו שכתב המורינאים שכל יהודי צריך לעבור בחינות עשרה ניסיונות. The work, מאור עיניים, says, it wasn't only Abraham that had 10 tests. Every Jew. And this is a phenomenal concept. Because we sometimes live with this fantasy of they lived happily ever after. That we will find the place where we could rest. Even Yaakov Avinu wanted to rest. And we are taught, no, the giants of Jewish history never had it easy. Resting is for the grave. We'd like to rest. We try to rest. We rest on Shabbos. We rest on Yom Tov, right? But we have to realize that we were put here to accomplish. And that's not easy. And when people face huge tragedies in their lives, and everyone has huge explosions in their lives, for one person, it's a divorce. For another person, it's a health issue. For a third person, it's parnasa issue. For a fourth person, it's a legal issue. People have huge issues in their life. No one goes through life unscathed. The question is, how often will they be? Will a person be able to catch his breath in between? And what are the scars afterwards? And then the question is, how do we react to the scars? But everyone has big tests in their life. Life can be viewed as oases of peace in between tragedies or challenges, as he wants to call them. 10 tests. But we have to realize that everyone's going to face them. And you start off life, so then for most people, the first few years are easy. And then you suddenly face up to real life, and then suddenly it's not what you thought it's going to be like. There is no happily ever after. It always strikes me. We walk into a hospital every so often, right? And you feel like you're walking from one world to another. You're walking from a world where petty things matter to a world where big things are on the brink and you don't know how it's going to end. I spent last night in the hospital. I was accompanying someone who had a minor surgery, hip replacement. Not the end of the world, right? Not life-threatening. Okay, I'm not saying it's fun, but it's not life-threatening. But when you spend the night in the hospital and you hear the moaning and groaning around the hallway, then you start thinking about life differently. I was up every half hour. Just from the wails and moanings I heard all around the hospital. And then you come to Davin Shachris and you kick yourself and you say, I should have had this much kavana yesterday and the day before too. Because when you're outside the hospital, you're in a rush. Davening has its place, and then all the petty things have their major role in life. And when you walk through those doors, suddenly you get a different perspective on life. Well, everyone has those tests he's going to have to encounter, and the question is, what's he going to do with the lessons he learns? Will he learn from them? Or will he just walk away with scars? So the Ma'ore Naim said, every Jew has to know he's going to have to stand up to 10 tests. And that's an encompassing of a Jew's life. When a person stands up to those tests and fulfills his tasks, then he's fulfilling his role. That's what he came to the world for. Through this, he's sanctifying his name. And then we come to the second pasuk. Uvenucho yomar. When the Aron would come to rest, Moshe would say, Shuvah Hashem rivevot alfei Yisrael. Return Hashem to the masses, to the thousands of Israel. V'yesh lever b'zeh. So we have to explain here. De'achar sh'yudi kvar mitgaber al ha'nisyonot v'kavash te'yetzer hara. You have situations where a Jew conquered. He knows his challenge was A or B or C, and he's conquered it. There's this fantastic organization across the country that will remove your internet from your computer for free. You just have to come and bring your computer and they'll remove it for you for free. So I brought my computer there to remove the wireless. I used the LAN part of the computer because I run the website. But the wireless I don't need, and I don't want the computer to have limitless internet access. I know where it can connect, I know where it doesn't connect, and the kids are coming to an age where I need to make sure I have more control when they're on the internet, etc. Okay. I speak to the guy, and he tells me, I have people who walk into my house, and they say, do it now. And I say, what do you mean? And they say, now I have the epiphany. Now I have the strength. I know I shouldn't be doing what I'm doing on this machine. Take it off now, because in an hour I don't know if I'll be here. Now, take it out. I'll pay you for it. But so then the guy walks home with his laptop, and let's say he's conquered that. So there are times when a person says, "I've done it. I've conquered that yetzer hara. I'm not going to do this anymore. I won." So there are such things. A person sometimes. I remember we had a student here who told me he was working for years to eat kosher. It was a very hard yetzer hara for him. That was his big temptation. For years he was going back and forth. I'll stop eating pork and then I'll only eat non-kosher, what's it called? that fish. What's it called? Crab. Yeah, I'll only eat crab. And he ate lobster, right? I'll only eat lobsters. I mean, he was working his way up until he reached a point where that's it. He was eating kosher. So there are situations where a person knows he did it. That yitzhara, he's finished. Adayin lo siyem shlichuto, but he's not done. Shemeata mutelet alav shlichut ba'asei tov. It's not enough that a person says, I've overcome my desire. I often tell the story about the guy who came into the office and he sits down and he's huffing and puffing and I say, what's wrong? And he says, 2 weeks I'm here at Machon Meir. I haven't beaten anyone up. These are the first 2 weeks of my life that I haven't beaten anyone up. And I'm sitting there in my chair looking at him like, okay, good for you. You know, okay, so the Netivot Shalom says, it's not enough that a person says, I conquered it, I'm no longer beating anyone up. No, we have a responsibility to do good. It's not enough that I say, I'm not doing bad anymore, I haven't robbed anyone. I have to do positive. One step at a time, right? I wasn't about to tell him that, right?
I have a question about the people that smoke. What should we tell them? Nothing? Should we say, oh, smoking is bad, you should quit? What's the proper way to handle that? Give them an electric cigarette, like, here's an e-cigarette.
Well, I guess somebody you don't know.
Cigarettes
like,
nowadays.
It's kind of everybody's teacher's own. It's,
Should see somebody on the street and be like, hey, you really shouldn't be smoking.
Or like, you should go to the back of the building and smoke there, not in the front, where it's,
I think that the best help we can give one another is to let each person grow at their own pace and not interfere, not say anything.
Not say anything.
No, not at all. Just, you know, like I've heard this many times. I'll walk out and see a student smoking who I didn't know was smoking, and the student will look at me and say, Rabbi, I'm doing Shabbos, I'm doing Kashrus, and I'm not yet ready to quit my cigarettes. You know, and you know, I've had students who I said point blank, don't quit now. You can't do so much at one shot. Usually when a student asks me if to quit smoking or not, I ask him, how many things are you working on now? And if he's working at the same time and keeping Shabbos, keeping Kashrut, he's dealing with a million other challenges. His irreligious friends on Facebook are inviting him to the bar every Friday night. And he's contending with that. And so then quitting smoking is something you'll have to do down the line. You can't deal on every front at the same time. And being that we don't know where every person is holding, it's not our right to even think that they're doing something wrong. We don't have a right to even think that. We forget saying something. We don't know. We don't know where he's coming from.
You look at him and you say, what can I do better myself?
So the Netivot Shalom says, you finish step one, fighting the enemies. That was Pasuk one. Now you've come to the position where you can rest. Well, that's not enough. It's not enough to say, I've overcome doing bad. Now I have to be positive and do good. The essence of Torah and the service of Hashem is balancing love with awe, the fear of Hashem with the love. And a Jew's job in this world, yeshna besur mera, part of our job in this world is to turn away from that which is wrong, but there is also part of our job which is asei tov, to do positive, to do good. And when a person has finished his responsibilities, turning away from that which is bad, so he overcome that test, he overcame that test. Next, he has to fulfill his responsibility, his mission, in doing good, loving his Creator, connecting to his Creator. And that's what Moshe came and asked. When it came time to rest, Moshe said, "Shuva Hashem rivavot alfei Yisrael, return Hashem to the thousands, to the masses of Israel." Uvenucho. What does it mean? Nucho, milshon menucha venachat. Shuva Hashem rivavot alfei Yisrael, shehakadosh baruch hu yishkon im Yisrael v'yashreh shechinto aleihem v'yehu Yisrael dvukim b'Hashem itbarach. when we're traveling, Moshe says, overcome our enemies, scatter our enemies. When it comes time to settling down, Moshe says, now Hashem, I pray, come back into the camp. Be a part of our lives. Be connected with us. Be with us. Allow us to connect to you. Shezet tachlit hakol. That is the essence of everything. As it says in the holy words, Shetachlit kol ha-Torah v'tayag mitzvot, hu ubo tidbak. The essence of the Torah and all the mitzvos is connecting to Hashem. The Hasidic works like to say that the word mitzvah comes from the word savta, friendship, connection. Yireshita koshen Yehudi, the beginning of a Jew's path, ibivchinat minso aron. That's this concept of the aron is traveling. Shedarko retzufa michsholim v'nisyonot besumera. When a person starts traveling, he finds his path is filled with stumbling blocks. Most of you remember the first Shabbos you kept. You remember that cell phone ringing. You remember the SMS. You remember the temptation. Am I going to look? Am I not going to look? I'll look and I won't answer. You start a path. All your friends are having pizza and pepperoni. And you decided, I'm not going to do it. But maybe I'll start tomorrow. You know, all the guys are getting together. You decided you're not going to drink wine that wasn't cooked and all your friends are going to the bar. The beginning of the path is difficult. And then a person reaches that point where there's a certain element of rest. When a person reaches that position, now he has the responsibility to do good, להשיג אהבת השם ודבקות בשם, שכל ימי חייו הוא צריך להתקרב לדבקות בשם, שבזה הוא ממלא תכלית שליחות חייו. The essence of a person's mission is connection with Hashem. And I'll give you a small example. You have a person who never put on tefillin, never came to shul. And then he comes to shul. Boy, it's a long davening. So then he works on getting used to staying that long davening. And then after 2 years, 4 years, 6 years, he's already accustomed to davening in shul. It's a part of his daily routine. So he gets up in the morning, he brushes his teeth, he washes himself, he gets dressed, he comes to shul, he davens, he leaves shul and he wakes up. Right? Isn't that how life looks like? Okay. Now you start focusing. You got your work to do, you got your job to do. But even if you had your first cup of coffee before you went to shul, you wake up as you walk out of shul. What a good morning. Wow. So he's accomplished. You can't say he hasn't accomplished. He's coming to shul every morning. But there is a step too. Am I connecting? Do I walk into shul one way and walk out another way? Do I walk out of my davening the way I walk out of my therapist? You walk out of your therapist and you feel like, okay, we've had a meaningful conversation. I have a bit more of a direction in life. You walk out of davening, it's like, why did it take so long? I got things to do. Wait a second. Connection to Hashem. Asay tov. Connection to Hashem. What's my davening like? What's my Shabbos like? Is Shabbos about sleeping, eating chulent? You know the donut? You guys don't know the donut. Shouldn't know about the donut. That's good. Maybe I shouldn't teach you. When we were in high school, so guys would compare notes. Who did the donut? The donut is they'd stay up Thursday night doing all kinds of silly things that teenagers do. And then they'd do whatever they did Friday. And then they'd come into shops and do a donut 24 hours, like around the clock, sleep. 12 hours, 24 hours, that was the donut. So not what a Shabbos should look like. That's not the idea. So there's an asay tov. It's not enough that a person says, I didn't turn on any lights this Shabbos. I don't know, Rabbi, what do you want from me? So I slept the whole Shabbos. I wasn't turning on any lights. I wasn't on Facebook. I didn't SMS anyone. Wait, there's asay tov. There's more to Judaism than just not doing what's wrong. You got to do what's right. Asay tov. As the verse says, God says, make me an altar and I will rest in your midst. You build me the temple and then I'll be inside each and every one of you. Making the temple is turn away from that which is wrong. Turn to what's holy. Then a person reaches the state of connecting with Hashem. That's the concept of this parsha in which Moshe prayed. In this parsha, Moshe Rabbeinu was praying for all the circumstances that a Jew might find himself in. Hen bisul meira, be it turning away from that which is wrong, shiuchal litgaber al kol hamichsholim, the capacity to overcome all the stumbling blocks. Vayibin tzaron, as the Aron travels, Moshe speaks about whatever enemies you might find in your way. Then ba'asei tov, but then the next pasuk speaks about resting, about doing positive. Shiuchal lemalei tachlit shechuto liot tavuk b'Hashem itbarach, to allow a person to really connect to Hashem, to fulfill his responsibilities. And that's why these two psukim stand alone in the Torah. Even though they don't have any specific mitzvah, but they speak about the essence of Torah and mitzvos, which is its own Torah. And psukim that teach about the essence of Torah, there's no Torah greater than that, than two psukim that will encompass the essence of what we're supposed to accomplish with the Torah and mitzvot. So that's the conclusion of that speech.